Parshas Pekudei begins, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan. These are the accounts of the Mishkan, the tabernacle built in the desert. The Mishkan is the sanctuary built in the desert. All kinds of materials were used for it and the service in it. Precious metals and precious stones, woolen and linen materials, various kinds of skins, and so forth. All these things were contributed by the Jewish people. Each one had to give an equal tax of half a shekel. But beyond that, everything was a voluntary offering. And the Jewish people were most generous. They appreciated the inestimable value of the Mishkan, the tabernacle, that holy place which would bring a manifestation of the Shekhinah, of the divine presence, into their very midst. Everyone, men and women, wanted to share in this great mitzvah as much as possible. They realized that with a mitzvah like this, as with tzedakah, charity in general, you get and take much, much more than what you could possibly give. Thus they gave with open hearts and open hands, to the point that the contributions exceeded the needs, and Moses had to issue a proclamation that the people should bring no more. In Parshas Pekudei, the sanctuary and its instruments were completed. And in this Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu, Moses, offers an exact audit and accounting for all the contributions that had been made. How much came in, and exactly what was done with it. Thus, Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, these are the accounts of the Mishkan. Offhand, though, this seems somewhat odd. After all, the people made their contributions voluntarily. They neither asked for nor needed any receipts for income tax purposes. Moreover, these contributions were given to Moses, their leader and spiritual guide, a man fully trusted by God, as it is written, "My servant Moses, he is trusted in all my house." Yet in our Parsha, Moses offers the Jewish people an exact accounting for everything collected. Moses himself offered this. As soon as the Mishkan had been completed, he said to the people, "Come, and I will present you with complete details of all the expenses," and then began, "Eile Pekudei HaMishkan, these are the accounts." This Parsha, however, teaches us a most important principle. Each and every one has a moral obligation to put himself or herself beyond any possible suspicion. You may be as great and holy as Moshe Rabbeinu, whom God himself trusted implicitly. You may know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you and your dealings are altogether honest. You may think that for as long as your affairs are cleared with your own conscience and with God Almighty, this is enough. Thus our Parsha comes and teaches us that it is not so. Man has an obligation to be morally pure, not only before God, but also before his fellow men. As the Torah states, "You shall be clear before God and before Israel." That is why Moses gave an exact accounting, not only for the precious metals and precious stones, but even for every copper received from the people. This applies not only to being beyond suspicion in monetary matters. It relates to everything we do. It is just not enough to feel and know in your own heart and conscience that you are doing the right thing. Our actions and behavior must also be perceived externally to be right and proper. Appearances do matter. This is not a question of trying to please others. This is not saying that the important thing is to appease the public. Far from it. The first and foremost obligation is to be honest, truthful. The first and foremost obligation is to make sure, to the best of our ability, that we are doing the right thing. But then, we must also make sure that others too will see and recognize it as such. As our sages put it in Pirkei Avot, which is the right path that man should choose for himself? Whatever is deemed honorable and praiseworthy to the one who does it, and for which he is also deemed honorable and praiseworthy by people.